2021 is in the books.
What games were among your favorites this past year?
Let's get those cogs turning. So Dirt, I feel like I start off our podcast lately like that. So Dirt.
So Blue.
So Stuff.
I guess that's just how we start things other than, the intros. You're just like, you start the conversation, you're like, So Dirt.
Yeah, let's.
So Dirt.
So Dirt.
So Dirt.
So Dirt.
So Dirt.
So Blue. Hi.
So what have you been doing the past couple weeks, sir?
What have I been doing the past couple weeks? Well, I just finished streaming Onimusha Dawn of Dreams, and I realized I was hungry. And then I was like, wait a minute, we're also doing a podcast too, so I'll just bring the food in with me.
Good job.
What have I been doing the past couple weeks? Well, after our podcast, I just kept working. But then after that, I took some time off because of the holidays. I don't go back to work until next week. Honestly, I've been streaming Onimusha 4 on PS2, and besides
that,
yeah, that's true. I've been streaming it a lot, almost every day. I've been very consistent with my vacation. But other than that, we just had Christmas, so I've been doing a lot of stuff around the house, wrapping presents, spending time with family. That's what I had really going on. What about you?
I've just been playing games off stream.
Oh yeah?
For the most part. Since you took over and you did your thing, I streamed I did beat two games within, or was it three? Well, one game off stream and two games on stream last week.
You played, Scarlet Nexus?
Scarlet Nexus. I did finish that. I ended up doing a 12-hour stream unmeaningly to beat the game.
Yeah, I saw that. You're a beast.
And there should be another Salt video out of that last chapter.
I haven't seen you stream for 12 hours in a long time. I went back to the VOD and I'm like, holy shit, because I had to go to bed and you streamed late.
Yeah, I it wasn't intentional. It was more like, yeah, I'm not going to have enough material if I stop now. And then it turned out I would have had enough material to stream the next day because the last chapter sucks so bad.
You need to learn how to pace yourself, sir.
I know.
Or are you just feeling ambitious?
Well, look, I was feeling ambitious because I had the ability to stream. I did it, and you know what, damn it? I beat the damn game. I'm beating games on stream, and you guys have to appreciate my fortitude on actually achieving this because me.
I'm clapping right now because yay. Like I said, I haven't seen you stream for 12 hours in a long time. That's epic.
Because I have the ability. I have the ability.
You do. I'm glad you do. That is amazing.
Yeah, because our internet's working now, so we can stream. And I am living with a bunch of people who stream too, so they understand.
You're in a place in life where you can do all the things, and I'm very happy for you.
So I beat Scarlet Nexus, and I also beat Shining Resonance, which only took one more stream. I didn't realize how close I was to beating it, and it took me 3 years to beat on stream.
Wow.
In our channel. I started it on our stream like 2.5 years ago.
Okay, this calls for a round of applause then. Yes.
Go me. And then, yeah, so Christmas. Christmas time. Christmas time was here.
I enjoyed my holiday. It was nice to see friends and family and give gifts.
Mine was much different from normal because I am many states away from my norm. And there really wasn't much to it this year. It was just hanging with the trolls and yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was good. It was good. They got me a little dice game.
Nice.
Kind of funny. And I'm going to need to play that with them at some point, but got that and then a couple t-shirts and then you got me a game I've been playing nonstop now off stream.
Yes, what are you addicted to right now?
Monster Hunter Stories 2.
Hell yeah. Do you realize you have like over 140 to 145 games on your wish list on Steam?
Yeah, I do it to confuse people.
Yeah, at first I was like,
If someone wants to actually get me something, they have to look and they have to, actually try.
Oh, I did. I looked and I searched.
I appreciate it. It was a good gift.
Monster Hunter Stories 2 stuck out and I'm like, nah, this is the one.
This is the one. Yes. It's good too. It feels like a Monster Hunter game. Like the mechanics, some of the mechanics still are in place from the Monster Hunter series, but it is set up like a Final Fantasy game, like a standard JRPG. It's really weird.
Okay.
But it's still got that same kind of feel to it, to a Monster Hunter game.
But it works?
It works. It's yeah. good. And I put almost, I think I put 18 hours into my playthrough already. Since I woke up to a Steam gift. Steam, whatever, my computer. There we go. That's what I was trying to think of.
Yep, and I waited till Christmas.
I woke up and Rain was like, "What's that on your window?" I'm like, "What the fuck? God damn it."
To quote Peter Griffin.
Love you.
Love you. So yeah, other than that, not much. I'm trying to get into blacksmithing now. I know that's a random, but I've been trying to push for that.
Yeah, that is a random. Blacksmithing. What caused this to bubble up in the brain?
First, Forged in Fire.
Really?
The show Forged in Fire, the competition. And then
yeah.
We kept watching it, and then one day our lovely troll R put a Forge in our buy stuff thing. And then started enticing the idea of, you could do this. And then I put it on my bucket list. I want to at least make one blade as a bucket list thing for myself that I made myself. So now I'm in the process of figuring out costs and everything and what I can do to get it without an income.
Okay, that's pretty epic, dude.
So yeah, we'll see how that goes. But I do have an idea for next year for Extra Life incentive, if I do. The idea is next year, if I learn and I get, you know, somewhat decent, I can make a decent knife, I'll put that in as whoever the highest donator is that year for my channel, or not my channel, my account.
Yeah.
My GG Derptaku Extra Life account. Whoever puts the most onto that will receive a knife with whatever I stamp onto it or whatever I write onto the blade saying that it's made by me, basically. Try and put our PG name on it or something.
That sounds awesome. Yeah.
That's if I can get this soon enough and figure it out and get better at it and can make something good.
You have plenty of time to focus and hone on your craft and see what happens.
Continuing on the joke from earlier in your stream, hey Omega, since you're being a sugar daddy, why don't you just buy all my forge shit and I'll make you a blade?
No, he was very generous. It was very sweet of him to gift sub a ton of people.
Omega being Omega.
Yeah, I love this community. Everyone's awesome. There's so much support on Twitch and I love it.
There's so much support. Everyone's gotta hurt.
Yep, from the viewers to the chatters, the subbers, and the donators. You're all
the
awesome.
The followers.
And actually, that's one of the things I... This entire year was probably one of the most epic years of Paradigm Gaming, in my opinion, since we, you know, being on Twitch. We've done so much. We've played so much.
Yes. But next year, starting 2022, is going to be the best year for us. For many reasons. For many reasons.
Should we just announce what we got going on right now, or at least give them a taste?
Yeah. Just a little nibbling.
Okay.
Nibbling on the... On the giblin.
Okay, so for everybody listening, check this out.
I just want to say this really quick. I've never seen Blue lose his mind as much as he did when he realized what year is coming up for us.
Yeah, I guess I did kind of lose my mind, didn't I?
Mildly.
So, guys, January 15th, 2012 is when Derp and I officially created Paradigm Gaming.
A paradigm ago.
I like that. A paradigm ago. All right. I should put that on a t-shirt. Anyway, we have been doing Paradigm Gaming for 10 years. Let that sink in.
10 years.
Let that sink in, Derp. Let that sink in. Holy shit.
Back to the first YouTube video we made and I edited it.
Yeah.
And put it up there. You just recorded with me and you can go back and hear our little baby voices from 10 years ago.
Let's backtrack.
Welcome to Paradigm Gaming 101, your source for basic nerdosity and gaming. I'm Daniel.
I'm Nathan.
Yep, we got Nathan there.
I'm the guy who's going to be keeping you all up to date on current events within the gaming industry, via the YouTube channel, Facebook, or Twitter. Keep an eye out on our Facebook and Twitter pages and our YouTube pages. We got new things in the weeks and months to come. We've got some cool things planned for this year, and we can't wait to get it out there for y'all to see. So don't forget to subscribe to, well, everything. want to keep you up to date. It's going to be awesome this year. I'm very excited for what we got in store.
Basically, we're just going to be running a bunch of segments just to start out, see what works. We'll get rid of some if they don't. We're happy to be a part of YouTube and showing and a part of the gaming world to show you everything that's going to be going on. Thank you very much, and we hope to see you around.
Take it easy.
Take it any way you can get it.
Absolutely.
Let's backtrack. Let's backtrack.
We were 27 and our balls hadn't dropped yet. And, you know, it's just how it is. Blue hadn't grown into his beard yet.
No. It blows my mind, dude. We've been doing this for 10 years. We're going to celebrate our 10 years of Paradigm Gaming. January 1st, the whole year, we have overhauled Paradigm Gaming's look to celebrate 10 years. And we have... we've got things planned for the whole year. Some events, some giveaways. We'll have new merchandise, and we'll...
Hopefully new emotes.
At some point. We're looking at new emotes. But yeah, no, it's just exciting. This is an important milestone for not only Paradigm Gaming and for us as a team, but...
This would be a milestone for a lot of people, and we're still here.
Absolutely.
We're still here, bitches.
It's a milestone for me because of the amount of creativity that I've learned and grown over the last 10 years. It should also be monumentous for you for the amount of shit that you've done, experimented, created, and grown. Like, you started Twitch. You started Paradigm Gaming on Twitch.
Yeah, for us.
But like, Paradigm Gaming has taken us to some crazy places. It's been one hell of a ride, and we're still going.
And we met all you beautiful people.
Yeah, I mean, dude, we're doing a podcast. This was never, like, I never imagined we would be doing something like this.
Damn you, COVID!
Hey, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade, right? Well, if life gives you
And when life COVID. Gives you COVID, you make a you make a podcast.
You know what? I can't... You're right. You can't take any words out of that sentence. That's exactly what happened.
That's what happened with a lot of people, not just us.
No, I know. I know. But we're still doing it, and that's what I also love about it. Because it's not just Twitch. It's Paradigm Gaming. We started on YouTube and Facebook, and then we expanded to Twitter, and then we eventually expanded to Discord. And then we expanded to Twitch, and then we overhauled a lot of the stuff, but we still utilize all of these social media sites. We got a website. We do a podcast.
The Cogcast.
The podcast.
We do a Cogcast. The Cogcast. We are different from all the other podcasts. We're the Cogcast. We're the two motherfuckers who bring it to the machine with our cogs turning all nice and pretty. And yes, I went off the edge on that a little bit, but we're going to go with it, okay? We're going to go.
And that's kind of what the whole ride's been. We're just going to go with it.
Pretty much.
So Derp, I do want to tell you, though, I am proud of this thing we created, and I appreciate everything you've done for me in the last 10 years to encourage me and support me, especially when moments of, like, just uncertainty. Like, I didn't know if I could keep doing this, or I didn't know if what I made or created was good or not. You're like, no, keep doing your thing. Figure it out. And I needed that, and look at us now.
Aww.
So thank you. I just want you to know that. It means a lot. Aww. We created Paradigm Gaming as a way for us just to still stay connected together. Mm-hmm. Because you lived in Washington, I lived in California, but we're still friends. It's like, okay, we got to do something. We need some sort of project or a hobby to keep us just active as, you know, something to still do together.
Yeah, and I really think that was a huge connection that kept us. I mean, not that we wouldn't be friends. It was a huge helper and connector for the two of us.
Absolutely. And that kind of was the catalyst to start this thing. But then it became something bigger than that. And that is what I love about Paradigm Gaming.
And hey, we may not be all famous like some of them peoples out there with hair and titties hanging out. Well, I mean, I rub my titties for people sometimes, but that's another story.
This is true. He does. He does. Can confirm.
No, but yeah, we may not be the biggest known people on the interwebs, but I tell you what, we're awesome. And my sound clip is in more streams than any other sound command is in any other. Because this is
boobs. And these are tits.
He's right. It is.
It's in like 8 different people's channels.
And you know what? I don't even want to be famous, all right? I like the relationships we've built through the community. I like the teaming up with all of these members, especially since our Extra Life team has grown to 11 people.
There was those moments like, dude, I think we have too many people. It's like, it's okay. Once we get more people, it'll all work out.
I was actually nervous. I'm like, I don't know how to manage and moderate all of these, but it did work out. We did find a way to make it work out. Everyone brings something to the table. Everybody owns their own streams, but everybody works together. And that was the point of teaming together.
Speaking of TMNT, We're at like $9,600 or something like that. That's just off the top of my head. We were expecting 8,000 and hoping to hit that. We got Coxy to join us this year, and he absolutely destroyed it along with Omega.
Yep.
And then R and Tar were doing their thing all year, and they picked up a huge number. Gertrude always killing it. We had people killing it this year.
Yeah. Everybody brought something to the table, and everybody contributed, and everybody who donated, thank you, because this is all for the kids, but you help elevate this team in ways that you have no idea how much it means to us. We were able to do this to help out the kids. So I'm very proud of all of our members, but I'm also thankful to all of you who supported us, spread the word, donated, and even just donated your time. So thank you.
Yeah. Yes. You are all amazing. Now, on the other end, since you did your sappy boo-hoo thing and you mean everything to me message, I don't think this channel would be here without you at all. Aww. Like, even if I was running on my own thing, if that had ever been the thing and this never happened, if we had started this together and then you fell out of it, the channel would not be the channel because you put way too much work into it. Way too much work. You are the straight up backbone of this channel, whether or not you say I am or not. You put far too much work into this channel, and you are straight up its spine. And I'm pretty sure everyone in the community would agree with how much work you put into videos, and you've helped other people with their own videos. I mean, you're a huge part of the TMNT team. You did all the videos for that. You put all your shit out for that and helped others with their thing. And it's like, I sat there as Captain going, cool, I'm Captain. But you are literally the backbone of the channel, and I appreciate all the work you do for us. It's insane.
That means a lot to hear you say that, Derp. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Are you going to tear?
Maybe
a little
bit.
Tear? No? Are you going to cry?
You going to cry?
Wow,
you
going to
cry?
So.
Huh? Huh? You going to cry? You going to cry? You're going to squirt some? You're going to cry? Yeah, see, you're going to cry, huh? You're a big man now, huh? Yeah. Thought so.
You gonna squirt some? Seriously though, I do appreciate your words. It means a lot to hear that from you. It really does. Because as much as I you say I work too much, you're probably right. But it's my passion. And when you love something, you never work a day in your life. And I believe that every time I work for Paradigm Gaming stuff, I really believe that. And yeah, I did take on a lot, but I still felt like I could tackle it. And you were having a lot of life changes, and between moving and switching and internet and this and that, there was always something. But I'm like, I knew I had to pick up the slack to keep Paradigm Gaming going. And this is important to me because you're important to me. So I want you to know that. This is why I work so hard. And yeah, thank you.
Just remember, Rain, this is why he's number one. This is why he's number one. I love you.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're in a good spot. 2022 is going to be great. We're going to see more Derp streams. Paradigm Gaming is turning 10 years old, and we couldn't have done it without you guys. And we have a big year plan for all sorts of celebration for this milestone. And we're excited to share with you what we got, and we hope you are excited to be a part of it. It's 2022 where we will continue more on the Paradigm Gaming content, but we need to wrap up 2021.
Yes, we do.
And what better way to do that?
What better way to end 2021 than with what were the best games that you played during 2021? Not necessarily games that were from 2021, but games that you played this year that you consider your top games of the year.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of games did come out this year, and if those are among your top games you played this year, great. We want to know. But it not only that, but we actually reached out and asked the community that exact question. What were your top three games of this year? What did you play?
And we'll go over those.
What are your top games of 2021?
First and foremost, thank you everybody who participated and gave your responses. We sent out a message on Twitter and Discord and Facebook, and we got quite a few, and we haven't done a community response in our podcast in a long time, so we thought that this topic was mucho important, and we're very excited because you guys have played a lot of games, and there's such a variety. Derp, start us off.
Well, we had the almighty Don Dietfrag put out his little trio of fun, and obviously, if any of you know Don, you know what his favorite games are, except for one, which I didn't realize the bonus one that he had, but...
Number one.
Sea of Thieves, which you can see him play with Omega occasionally, or even Airnut on his channel, Don Dietfrag. Twitch.tv/DonDietfrag. Again, that's Twitch.tv/DonDietfrag, where on Friendship Fridays, he takes up the helm at his ship and plays Sea of Thieves. But he says, the Pirate's Life free expansion crossover with Pirates of the Caribbean was an absolute joy. Fun, silly bits, epic fights, new enemies and treasures.
Number two.
Genshin Impact. It's been developed a lot in 2021 with new areas, characters, bosses, and events. It's his favorite continuing title at the moment.
Number three.
Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go as a secondary. Been a good time killer walking to and from work. It was also to collect stops or gems on his drive across the country. A little bit extra to the adventure.
Yeah, he definitely drove across the country, and he currently resides in my house.
Yeah. Well, no, he's residing in Omega's house right now.
No, he came back last night.
Oh, he came back tonight. Well, I am standing corrected.
No, you're not. You're sitting corrected. Well,
don't make me stand.
Just kidding.
I'll stand, you sack of shit.
Honorable mentions.
And then his bonus mention, which I didn't see this one coming, honestly, Horizon 5. Visually the most stunning game I've played in a long time. He can relax and explore or buckle down and race. Not a game I expected to hear coming from him, to be honest.
No, fair enough. Especially, this is kind of what he plays off stream versus what he does stream. He did pick it up on computer, and he even tested it on my Steam Link and connected it to the TV downstairs, and it looked pretty good on the TV. Don, thank you for sharing. That is awesome.
Yes. And then we'll move on to...
Omega Apex 128.
Number one.
Legend of Dragoon.
Yes. But he just played it for the first time this year.
He did. He streamed it, too. But he says, great game. Incredibly frustrated with how it kept freezing, whether the disc was scratched or not. But besides that, great game.
Which I don't remember ever having that problem. Like, I don't remember that if that was a problem for me when I played through it, but he got through it at least, even with all those frustrations.
He did get through it.
Number two.
Genshin Impact. I love it. It says, finally got to play Breath of the Wild on PlayStation and discovered it is so much more than that.
Genshin Impact seems to be a trend this year, which I can understand. For a free-to-play mobile game that went to consoles and everything else, it's a AAA JRPG title.
Yeah.
Overall, like, and it's free. So I can't argue that fact.
Number three.
And then last, Omega says, for his third one was, surprisingly, Seaman. The Sega Dreamcast.
That game is amazing, dude.
Oh, I know. He's never played it. I let him borrow it for Extra Life because he was doing a Sega event, and he says, finally got to experience it. Was great.
That's all he needed to say. I don't remember anything else I played this year but Seaman.
Yeah, Seaman. There's no other game out there quite like it.
So if anyone hasn't heard, I originally beat Seaman myself on Blue's Dreamcast.
He did.
Before he beat
it. And how you really beat it is you evolve the fish person and he...
Spoilers!
And then he evolves into what I won't spoil here. You can go to YouTube and find out, but You have full-blown conversations with the Seaman, and it's hilarious.
Yep. And Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, Leonard Nimoy. Narration. Very odd, but I'm not complaining.
Which I forgot that that was a thing.
Leonard Nimoy is a legend. I thought that was pretty cool. It's like, good for you for getting in a video game.
We move on to the Almighty Gertrude, a.k.a. Arcanian 17.
Number one.
Genshin Impact. Because Genshin Impact.
They got her hooked.
This game has completely captivated her. It actually encourages her to pick up every shiny she finds, which we all, if you know Gertrude, she wants every freaking shiny in every game possible.
Yep.
So, and she gets distracted doing 17 things, and it's grindy, but satisfyingly so.
Number two.
Hades. I'd never played a roguelike before, and I got so hooked. It's addicting, and it really feeds into my deep-seated need for progress in things. It's instant gratification and a long-haul story all at the same time, and I am in love with it.
Number three.
Kena, Bridge of Spirits. I will be streaming this once I get back onto my stream, but I've been letting Blue take the reins for a little bit since he has the time off and get his Onimusha going.
Thank you.
But my next game will be Kena Bridge of Spirits as well. And the game looks like a Pixar movie in game form.
It's beautiful.
But it looked adorable and gorgeous in the trailers, and it has both in the full game and spades. I haven't finished it, but I set it down because both my side quest and main quests are tough bosses right now. But it handles themes of non-romantic love, loss, death, and grief so beautifully. It's gentle and soothing, even with the combat. And while I might not be able to come back to it for a bit without crying, I want to jump back in and soon.
Emotions run high.
I bet. I can't wait to play it. It was on a super good sale on Epic, and I was like, got to.
Honorable mentions.
Spider-Man PS4. Which, that's one I haven't completed myself. I need to.
It's so good.
She really loved watching Blue play it, and the seamless city swinging. The plot, the graphics, the slightly more mature representation of Peter and MJ prior to the update when they put a lookalike that looked like Tom Holland. And they said it wasn't Tom Holland, but it's totally Tom Holland.
Yeah, thankfully the PS4 version, they didn't touch that. It was the remaster that they did.
Oh, it was a remaster they did that? Okay, yeah. Anyways. Otto's development, Dr. Octopus, just a 10 out of 10. And I need to finish it. But I don't mind that they put in Tom Holland lookalike, but I did appreciate the older representation of the original Spider-Man PS4.
Yeah, I did too, and that's one of the reasons why I didn't pick up the remaster. Is like, well, I already have it on PS4, and I really like what they did with the original game, so I'm good. And it plays very well on the PS5. It plays very well, and loads fast on the PS5.
Yeah.
Next, we've got Moondog. Also known as Salabim.
Yeah, Salabim had to go and rebrand himself.
He's going to the moon, guys.
Because he's the moon dog for crypto.
Yep.
Him and his Shiba Inu and Dogecoin.
Let's go! Let's go!
Number one.
Sekiro. Derp, you streamed Sekiro.
I did, and I beat it.
You did. We got that last boss clipped.
It was so lucky, though. I shouldn't have won.
Moondog says, during quarantine 2020, I started playing FromSoft games. I played through all the Dark Souls games and Bloodborne and fell in love with them. I had tried Sekiro in between runs and Dark Souls, but gave up multiple times because I just couldn't get it. Well, at the start of this year, I decided to finally commit to going through it, pushed through and fell in love with the rhythmic, osu-like combat, and it just had a beautiful world to boot. Hell yeah.
I love Sekiro. It's a very good game, and it is pretty much Dance Dance. You just, it's rhythm, dodging and blocking hits in time.
Okay.
For the most part.
Yeah.
It's a great game, though.
Nice.
Number two.
Pokemon Snap. All right.
Which I had started getting into that. I had started playing that a little bit more, but then I haven't picked up my Switch again in a couple weeks, but I was playing it.
Well, from what he says right here, it says, one of my favorite games as a kid was the Nintendo 64 Pokemon Snap. Like so many fans, I've been wanting a sequel forever. Well, Nintendo did not disappoint. It was a joy to jump into this game and feel like a kid again. Seeing Pokemon in a living, breathing world is such a delight. This game has more secrets buried in it than many games in recent memory. It also managed to hit the sweet spot of being fun and engaging, but also very calming. I would often come home from work and wind down by playing this game.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Dude, I know what you mean about the whole living, breathing world of Pokemon. They definitely filled it with this new one.
Number three.
Fallout 76.
Yeah, I know. When I saw that on the list, I was like, huh, interesting. I mean, it has come a long way.
It has.
I have it myself.
I mean, you even got me to get it during our Extra Life about a year ago, and we played a little bit of it with together and with Indy. But it's nice to see that somebody's enjoying it. What do we got? It says, I know the hate this game gets. That's the first thing he says right out of the gate. When it first came out, I tried to play it, and it was broken, literally unplayable. But cut to this summer, and I actually had quite a fun time playing with it. They had implemented a lot of patches, and it was free with Game Pass, so I said, why not? And I jumped back in. Now, it's not a quality Fallout game at all, but it is a really fun looter shooter with a Fallout skin. I'm even planning a trip to West Virginia next year because I loved the world. Wow.
That's interesting.
That's cool. Salabim, Moondog, you're going to have to let us know when you go out to your trip to West Virginia to let us know what you think. I've been to West Virginia before. It's a beautiful state.
He's a decent day trip or two away from it. He's in the Florida area, so...
Ah, that's not too bad, just to drive up. I used to go to Harper's Ferry, West Virginia, and me and my mother would use it as a starting point where we would go hiking up the Appalachian Mountains. There was a trail up there, and it was awesome.
Nice.
Honorable mentions.
Stardew Valley.
Very nice.
I feel like this game will be an honorable mention for me every year. Laugh out loud. Lol. One of the games I've played the most, and this year they released the biggest patch, adding loads of content and Ginger Island. Couldn't resist starting up a new farm and dropping about 100 more hours in. Damn.
Good Lord.
That's what I'm talking about. See? That's awesome.
It's one I haven't put my time into. I modded it on my PC. I have it on my Switch.
Nice.
Haven't played through it yet.
Arcanian's played a little bit of Stardew Valley, and I know Omega and...
A little
and,
bit.
Well, yeah, she's played a lot. But I know Omega and Dawn also play it sometimes, too. Before we get into our next batch of community responses, we should listen to a word from our sponsor. And we're back.
Oh, we're back. He cut me out. I didn't even know we were doing that.
Surprise!
Did we do that still? Yeah, apparently. Surprise! So we'll go on to our final community member who responded. Madam Indigo, Rogue.
Number one.
Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, the remake for the Switch. Which is, I guess it's a remake. I was more going, is it a HD upgrade or is it actually a remake?
Oh, it's a full-blown remake.
I guess it is a remake.
Oh, yes.
It's a remake. So, the small amount I played last Christmas, I was entranced by the new art style as well as the music. I find what Nintendo went with for one of the most underrated Zelda games to be a lovely spruce up of the older game which took its artistic direction from Age and Seasons. The music is delightful, and I look forward to actually playing more of this on stream in the future and beating it.
Woo!
It was a good game, and guess what?
What?
It's a Zelda game I beat before you.
That's true. Hey, you want to know a secret?
You still haven't beaten it.
I haven't beaten it yet, no.
Are you mad?
No, I'm not. And it's a great game. I absolutely love it. I just, I don't know. That new shiny red ball popped up after it came out, I guess. I got far. I think I've got maybe two dungeons left before I can beat it. But
yeah,
I don't know. I may start all over again. And I'm also trying to beat it by not dying. And I know I died one of the times.
Oh, yeah, see, I wasn't trying.
Because if you beat it without dying,
I died a couple times.
You get a super extra ending.
I think I've seen the super extra ending. I'm like, yeah, I'm not going back through the game for that.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, overall, Link's Awakening, the remake for the Switch is such a great game.
No, it was great. I enjoyed it. It was a great game. I actually beat that one. So it was good.
Hell yeah.
Number 2.
Metroid Dread. I didn't used to be a Metroid fan until I watched Blue play it.
Yeah!
The hype for it may have gotten me excited a little bit, lol. Metroid is one of those games that throws you back and forth between maps. Gee, remind you of any other games, Blue? Cough. Cough. Resident Evil. Cough.
She's calling me out!
To find the items and upgrades you need, and it seems even with the pacing of running back between certain areas, there's always another part to the story. Samus's new suit is gorgeous, and it's certainly a wonderful return to the Metroid name. Not to mention the EMMIs really did make you feel that sense of dread.
Yes, those Emmys were pretty crazy. EMMIs. I
wasn't sure if it was.
I never heard it like that before, Chirp. Did you watch me stream it?
Well, I wasn't sure if it was actually Emmys or... Because I was like, Emmys, but EMMIs?
Eh. It's okay. They actually... Each letter does stand for something, so you're not wrong.
I know I'm not wrong. That's what all capitals means. It's an acronym.
It is an acronym. Do you know what it's an acronym for, though?
Every Mother Metroid implodes.
I'll give you a golf clap for your effort. It's Extra Planetary Multiform Mobile Identifier. I'm a nerd.
In other words, it blows shit up.
Pretty much. In a sense. I'm glad to...
I don't like you because you're different.
I'm glad you had fun, Indy. That's awesome. That is so awesome. Metroid Dread is such a great game.
Number 3.
Halo Infinite.
Infinite.
Oh, and I could have never guessed what her final option would have been.
Now, why do you say that, Derp? Why do you say it like that?
Because she's a Halo nerd.
Yes, she is. Not only is she a Halo nerd, she's an excellent cosplayer as Cortana. So if this game wasn't on her list, I would have been surprised.
Pretty much. Holy dude, she can't wait to dive into the campaign, because at this time when she wrote, the campaign wasn't out yet. But from what she's seen... Without trying to spoil the game for herself, it's gorgeous. Which, if we remember the original trailer, everyone was kind of disappointed with how it looked.
Yeah, I remember the trailer. I remember the trailer.
I was very disappointed. But anyways, let's see. It's gorgeous. It touches on every aspect of the Halo lore, from ODST, Reach, Halo Legends, and even hints on and nods to the books.
Nice.
From what I've been told, it's almost an apology letter for Halo 5. We see Chief in a different life with a new AI.
Oh, that's funny.
The weapon, and it turns the whole game into almost a buddy cop dynamic. Playing what little of the multiplayer I've been able to play with while at the boyfriend's, it's beautiful. It runs great, and as an added touch to the boyfriend's uncle is the new voice of Butler. B-U-T-L-R. I'm going to spell it out just to mess with you.
Fair enough.
One of the AIs you can equip as your personal AI. For the multiplayer.
Yeah, so Indy's boyfriend, this uncle, voices Butler. That is absolutely cool.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
But Halo, I haven't even looked at the new one yet.
I did. I actually played a little bit of the multiplayer, and my first impressions, feels like Halo, looks like Halo, plays like Halo, and it reminded me when I first played the original Halo on your Xbox. I smiled, and my inner child and my, you know, the little kid inside just smiled and go, yay. It just felt great.
Honorable mentions.
And our honorable mentions of Stardew Valley and L.A. Noir. L.A. Noir. Which, I love L.A. Noir. Such a good game.
It's been a long time.
Oh, yeah. Stardew has constant replayability, and I found myself playing more and more of it last year into 2021 at our old job. I want to find out how I could improve my farm, gain more money, and even marry characters in the game. The wiki is a massive treasure trove of new information to me and is super helpful. I'm adding L.A. Noir to the list because I was able to watch my boyfriend play it for the first time ever after playing the game myself multiple times. I had to hold my tongue when I was asked deep questions and what happens in the story. We both found the mutual hate at Roy Earl. Yes, your partner in Vice, and laughed a lot at the chaos of my boyfriend being an absolute menace while driving the car in missions. Yeah. About right.
I haven't played L.A. Noir in so long, but that's really cool. And hey, Stardew Valley, another fan of Stardew for 2021.
Stardew and Genshin.
Well, guys, it looks like you guys really enjoyed video games in 2021, and a lot of you really enjoyed some of the same games. You're right. Genshin Impact and Stardew Valley were mentioned a few times. Guys, thank you for sharing. Much appreciated. I look forward to seeing what you guys play in the new year. We go on to ours.
Yeah, because you guys really want to know about ours, right?
And you know, we played a lot this year on stream and off stream.
Let's do one for you, one for me, one for you, one for me, one for you, one for me.
That's a great idea. I like that a lot.
And we'll go from our top, our least, our number three to our two to our number one. The least to the best.
Number 3.
Metroid Dread.
Three?
Yep.
Three?
Hey, it made the top three.
Now I want to know what two and one are.
You're going to be very surprised. Actually, I think it's really cool that you decided we wanted to go with number three. So, you guys watched me stream Metroid Dread, and you saw me geek out. I had fun. It's hard. It's challenging. It's beautiful. It's old school Metroid meets new school. They pushed the envelope with the 2D Metroid gameplay, and they found a unique way to kind of like add closure to the whole franchise. So Metroid Dread was definitely one of my favorite games of 2021. And, not to mention, I got the game thanks to our friend Fenikusu from our...
Fenikusu!
From our... I'm always butchering Fen's name. I'm so sorry.
Just call him Phoenix. See what happens.
See what happens? No. So Fen... I'm gonna call him Fen. You call him Phoenix. No, Fen surprised me with the special edition, which was very hard to get. And I'm still gushing to this day. That was the most generous gift I've ever gotten. It's literally sitting on top of my shelf. I made a Metroid shrine. It's beautiful. The game is beautiful. And if you guys haven't played it, play it. It's worth it.
Do the thing.
Do the thing. Ah, Metroid Dread. So that's my number three. What is yours? Derptacus.
Number 3.
Scarlet Nexus. Bandai Namco, coming at it again with their anime JRPGs, but this one was actually different. It was actually a different feel. It sort of felt like Tales, or a Tales game, the way the combat is, but it was only, you only fight with as one person, and then you use the powers of the people around you to do more psychic abilities, and that's the whole base of the game, is psychic abilities, different types, and using the powers to beat enemies. But it had a really good story. The voice acting was actually decent. I played it in English.
Yeah, wow.
I played a Japanese RPG in English.
Hey.
Look at me go.
Look at you mixing it up. Good job.
I'm making it so you guys don't have to read.
Y'all, you did it for the chat. That's so sweet.
I did it for the chat. Let's be real. I was nice enough to chat, okay? But the voice acting wasn't bad. The only reason it's not higher is because of that fucking chapter 12. Oh my god. Bandai Namco, you could have shortened that shit up just about by a half hour by cutting out like half of the waves you put in and not made them all the overpowered mobs too. I love you. The game was amazing, but holy fuck that chapter. That's all I got. That's literally it. It was a great game. All
right. No,
the combat was very fun. The characters were great. They all had good personalities.
Hell yeah, dude.
I have no complaints. They just went way too hard on that last chapter. The last boss was fun, though.
Number 2.
Resident Evil Village.
Resident Evil, V-I-I-I-A-G-E.
I thought about this for a long time, and I, as much as I really enjoyed Metroid Dread, and it's one of my favorite game series, but so is Resident Evil, and I got more hours out of Resident Evil, and I've got multiple different experiences out of Village specifically, from puzzles to action to horror to twists and turns to the story. I mean, the house, Beneviento, was the most horrifying experience in the whole game, and it was amazing. It was like an escape room, and then I got swallowed by that baby.
I haven't beat it.
Well, I won't spoil the game for you.
I haven't gotten past the first town yet.
Okay. Well, I won't.
I haven't even been into the castle yet.
Okay. I won't spoil it for you. I won't tell you how it ends. But but God.
Well, yeah, I know it's no biggie.
Haven't
I know what
haven't you watched
castle.
My haven't you watched my like highlights? Like where have you been?
Keeping myself from getting completely spoiled.
Okay, fair enough. But
I'm a little spoiled, but not completely.
Well, Derp, this is my top number 2 of 2021, and there's a reason for it. The variety it gives you is amazing, and it gives you so much added to the characters from 7. And it's more open than the claustrophobic feeling you get in 7, but there are moments where it feels like 7, and then there are moments where it feels like something new and fresh. It is an amazing game, and Capcom did a great job, and I'm excited to see where these characters go in the next game. But, yeah, that's all I'll say about Resident Evil Village, but it is it's one of my favorite games of this year.
Number 2.
Thomas Haps Axiom Verge.
Wow, yeah!
I played and beat this off stream when I didn't have internet that worked for streaming.
I remember.
Went through it, beat it in a couple of days, 2-3 days, and it was phenomenal. Which, technically, I beat this one before you, too.
You did. You did beat one before me. Now, Derp, I gotta ask, because Metroidvania games are like my style of games, what made you want to play that, and what grabbed you to make it put it on your list?
Because I don't dislike Metroidvanias. I mean, hell, I played the fuck out of Hollow Knight.
That's true.
I beat the hell out of that game.
You did. That's true.
107% or 112% now.
Damn.
I did. The only thing I didn't do is beat the Path of Pain DLC and the gods, and screw that noise. Screw that noise.
All right.
I'm not that masochistic. I don't know. The music was great because the guy did the music. He was a solo dev, I'm pretty sure, right?
He was. He did everything by himself.
Because under dev, publisher, and music, it's all him.
Yep.
Thomas Happ.
Yep.
So the music was phenomenal. It was really well laid out. I mean, even it wasn't difficult to figure out where to go next. It was just very well laid out. There were a couple spots where it's like, do I go up here? You adventure. You go too far. You get your ass kicked. You get put back to wherever you saved last, and you go again, figure out where you need to go. It just, the weapon design was great. The weapon design in traversal was different. It wasn't Metroid. It felt in its own right, its own universe.
It's its own game.
It's not like you turned into a tiny ball, you get the defragmenter gun, and or whatever it was called, and you basically defragment walls and walk through them.
I love the drill.
Yeah. My favorite one was the shotgun thing.
Yeah, that one's good,
dude,
too.
Dude, that's my favorite gun. I carried that thing everywhere. It's my spirit animal. What can I say? Shotguns are my spirit animal.
Nice. I like it.
But yeah, that's my number two. The game all around was great.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, Drip. That's amazing.
Honorable mentions.
Since this is our podcast, I have three, but I won't go into detail on all of them.
Oh, you want me to add one more? I can add one more.
For an honorable mention?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I only got two.
Okay. So think about your third one while I tell you mine. And my first one is The Medium.
Nice.
We streamed The Medium, and I don't know, it was haunting, it was horror, it was beautiful, it had elements that reminded me of Silent Hill, and it had an engaging story, and going between being able to see people from the other side and going to two different worlds at the same time was very unique, and I absolutely was blown away by The Medium. It was beautiful, and they even got, there was two composers, and one of them was Akira Yamaoka from Silent Hill, so it had the vibes of Silent Hill. It was great. I absolutely love The Medium. It was a very unique game, and I can't wait to see more. What about your honorable mention?
Shining Resonance. Great game. It took me 3 years to beat, though. That was on me, just because, whatever. But I only had one more stream to go, apparently, till I beat it.
You got there eventually.
Oh, well. It's a very baseline, mediocre JRPG, but it was based, I mean, it's in the same universe in line as the Shining Force games, basically. It's Shining Resonance, so it's of the same family as Shining Force, which is one of my favorite Genesis games. But it was just an interesting thing. It was based heavily with music, and all of the weapons in the game were actually instruments they played, and they were like weapon instrument combos. Just the idea behind that. Music was pretty good, and the overall combat was just a Tales game. Tales of Arise, or Tales of whatever.
Nice.
Tales of Vesperia. It was just an overall decent game, and it's one of the ones I played this year, and as an honorable mention, I wasn't disappointed. It was good. It had a good ending.
My next game on our honorable mentions is Spider-Man for PS4. Because I finally beat it, and I reached a point where I couldn't put it down, because I wanted to play Spider-Man Miles Morales, but I didn't finish the original one, and so when I popped it back into PS5, it loads faster, which I loved, and apparently there's warp points in the game that you can go one side of the city to the other. I didn't need it, didn't want it. I was so excited just to swing all over the city and then collect all the extra shinies. I actually wanted to collect a lot of the extra shinies. Not all of them, some of them. But it actually had a very engaging story. It was very emotional. The character development was one of the best I've seen in a video game. And overall, the gameplay, it was just fluid and it worked. And when it ended, I got a little emotional. I was kind of blown away by the whole experience. So that definitely was worth an honorable mention, in my opinion.
Been here. I've heard so many good things about the PS4 Spider-Man. I have it. I've gotten at least halfway through it. I might be a little bit farther than that, but I just haven't gotten to the point where if I pick it up, I don't set it back down.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened to me. I reached a point, stopped, came back, and couldn't put it down.
So for me, my next one, Breath Edge.
Oh yeah, with the crazy chicken.
Yeah, the crazy immortal chicken.
Yeah.
It's a space game that is a survival open world simulator. Open world used very loosely because you're just floating through space in an asteroid field. It was a lot of fun. It had you do a lot of stupid shit. You realize it's kind of pointless in the end once you do it, but the comedy is great. It's a hilarious game. There are a couple parts that are a little tedious. Only reason it gets the honorable mention is because some parts a little more tedious than others. But overall, the game was solid. It was cool. Freaking hilarious. It just touched all the right spots in my comedy bone.
Hell yeah.
Not the funny bone, my comedy bone.
The comedy bone.
The funny bone hurts. The funny bone's bullshit.
That's fair.
That's very fair.
Well, my last honorable mention is Castlevania Advance Collection. I got it on the Switch, and I haven't been able to put it down. I was playing it when I usually go to bed. There's three games in it. I'm currently playing the third one. I beat Circle of the Moon and Harmony of Dissonance, and they were just absolutely fun. But I will admit, in this collection, they add new features to it, like a rewind feature.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually found it very helpful for certain things. If I was to play this without that feature, I don't know if I would have been able to beat any of them because they're hard games. Not to say that I don't like hard games, but I just wanted to experience the story. They gave me a way to still enjoy the game and still kind of get through it, and it was fun. I was blown away by both of them.
It was games you wanted to just have fun with, not fight for your victory.
Exactly. And I applaud Konami.
Wow.
Konami sucks.
I just sat back in my chair for you guys that couldn't see that because, you know, audio, but he just applauded Konami.
I applaud Konami for putting out a collection like this because it's unexpected. This is the Game Boy Advance series of Castlevania games, and they don't really do anything with their properties. So, not really, other than pachinko machines. So the fact that they're able to put this collection together, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna, and it was affordable too. It was an inexpensive to get all three. I think it was like $20 or something like that. So I'm glad I jumped on it. And you know, Konami may not be perfect, and we may still hate them for Kojima and all the other things they did before all of that whole "we're getting out of the video game business" thing happened, but they did something right with this collection, and that's why it's worth an honorable mention. I played two out of the three games so far that I just couldn't put it down. Nice. And it filled in an itch for my Metroidvania, Castlevania need that I need to fill, and they're new games I've never played before, so I got to experience something new for me.
Okay. So here's my third. Power Wash Simulator.
You do love those, don't you?
You have not lived until you can wash a house or a fire truck or a firehouse with a power washer with unlimited water and different attachments. You do not know joy until you can clean that perfect line, or you know, you use that soap to get that rust off. Oh, there is no greater joy at all. It's just so good.
I'll take your word for it.
Oh, dude, it scratches your OCD bones so good.
All right.
We're talking all about the bones tonight, all the boning. But you know what? Just because you said you went for three, now I'm going to go for four.
Okay.
Bum Simulator. While highly offensive towards the homeless community, the game is well put together and hilarious. It tries to stay on the sides of not too disrespectful, but it's still disrespectful, but it's funny. You are a bum who had half his brain taken, and you had a person wake you up who was a shopping cart that had his brain implanted into the shopping cart with a bunch of trash, and he is your buddy that you cart around and build things and build your home up and your base of operations and try and get your brain back. It was funny.
All right.
There's my fourth honorable mention.
Well, then I need to do one more then.
Are we just going to one-up each other on these honorable mentions?
No, I did have one more written down just in case.
Oh, you sackage.
My most surprising game I played in 2021 is a ROM hack.
Okay.
Hyper Metroid.
I figured it was Metroid.
Hyper Metroid set me off on this ROM hack rabbit hole. It is one of the greatest remixes of Super Metroid I've ever played. It took over 10 minutes to escape the planet after you defeat Mother Brain.
Wow, that's actually huge.
Even getting there was a feat. Like, the whole entire map is literally recreated, redone, and new enemies were added. And I was like, this is a fan game? It was high quality. I was so blown away. And it set me down this ROM hack rabbit hole where I'm now currently playing another top-rated Metroid hack called Super Metroid Ascent, and it's another brand new game with using the assets from the Super Nintendo game, and it's good, it's different. And then I also downloaded another one. There's a popular Zelda game called Zelda Parallel Worlds. I downloaded that, and then there's also a Super Mario World ROM hack that's very highly rated. I did research, like, what are the best ROM hack games to play? And I found them, and I can't get enough of the love that the community pours into the games that we loved growing up. It just makes what's old new again. And some of it's surprising. The quality is surprisingly good.
Yeah, but you know who hates it?
Who hates ROM hacks?
Nintendo.
Not really. I mean, they're still available. You can still play it. You can still download it.
But just saying, they're all their cease and desist.
No, you do have a point. There was a lot of popular ROM hacks that got made, and Nintendo was like, no, you got to take that down. Like, the first thing that pops in my head was The Legend of Zelda, The Missing Link, which was like a pseudo-sequel in between fan story that links Ocarina of Time to Majora's Mask. That got taken down pretty fast. I have that one, too.
Nice. Good.
Oh, and then... it wasn't a ROM hack. It was actually a remade game from the ground up. But AM2R, another Metroid 2 remake, Nintendo cease and desist. But that
looked really good.
It's such a good game. I have that too.
But you know what you sound like with the ROM hacks now?
What?
How I sounded when I get into modding a game.
Yeah.
Because I love taking those old games and making them oh so pretty, and giving them those quality of life changes that people have modded in because they were so needed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like, how many mods did you put into Skyrim?
A lot. To the point I had to reinstall them one at a time so I know what one broke it.
That's dedication. All right, well, enough honorable mentions. We listed a lot. There's a lot of games we love to play in 2021. But what is your number one game that you played this year that went, oh my god... Derp, go ahead.
Number one.
I have been selling this game to people for the past 2-3 weeks now. 2018, Warhorse Studios Kingdom Come Deliverance. this game is like, you know, it's set up as an FPS RPG like Elder Scrolls or, you know, Fallout, that kind of game. It's set in 1403. It takes legitimate history, even if some are embellished a little bit, but it's legitimate history, sets you in the shoes of some peasant of 1403 who makes his way up. That's the story. It's just the way they implement all of the combat. The combat is different. The mechanics for lockpicking, pickpocketing. They have little mini games in there. They have horse racing at one point that you can do as a side quest. Just all the stuff that they implemented in the game, they did it differently. And you raise your different skill sets up. Like, you, at one point you have to get reading, and you level up your reading, and you can eventually read better.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And things like that. Like, you can drink yourself to death, get addicted to alcohol, and you can also raise your drinking level.
Holy shit.
And get perks based on drinking.
Wow.
Like, that's just in that, though. Like, you got your sword, your axes, all those other things that you can level up along with your main level. And it's just, it tries to stay very true to history, and even people who know the history are like, yeah, they stick to it as much as possible. The only thing unrealistic about it, maybe, is how long it takes some people to die when you're in combat.
Huh.
But at the same time, it's trying to keep some sort of basis of, you know, not being a one shot and done.
I see.
But this game's music is top notch. The voice acting is top notch. The graphics, it's made in the Cry engine, so it's got the Crysis graphics.
Okay.
You know, the really freaking pretty landscapes and stuff. If you've ever played a Crysis game, you know exactly what the engine looks like.
Oh, yes.
It is absolutely gorgeous. The map, when you zoom out, the first time you look at the map, it looks small, like with all the fog in that. But when you actually open it all up and you actually start trying to, like, get on your horse and run across it, it's actually a pretty damn big map. Because you're not, like, even the fast travel is different too. It's not instantaneous. Like, you have a clock and it puts your character on the map and it shows this little, like, player piece that moves across the map in a path, and you can get stopped in the middle of your fast travel and get attacked or run into something that you can check out if you need to.
Interesting.
It's not like you're just instant fast travel. You're there. No, it passes time and you can get stopped along your travels.
Wow.
Like, I've been trying to sell this game to people because it has absolutely become my favorite FPS RPG of all time. Above Skyrim, above Oblivion, above Morrowind, above Fallout, period. This is my favorite FPS RPG I have ever played.
Wow, that is high praise.
I seriously, if you guys can get that game at all, even if it's on, like, if you can get it on sale, which it was on sale for this thing for $12 for all the DLC and the game.
Oh, wow.
Right now it's $12 on Steam.
That's awesome.
I recommend it. Otherwise, it's like $30 for everything. So I recommend it. Get it while you can. There's my praise for that game. That's my number one of all time. And 5 years later, Blue will play it.
At some point.
Hey, you know how often I talk about a game like this, and how often have I been wrong when you actually get to it?
That's true. 99% of the time, I'm like, shit, Derp was right.
Damn right. And I don't usually talk up games like this.
No, you don't. Though it's very, very awesome to hear you geek out about it.
So what about you? What is Blues?
Number one.
Axiom Verge 2.
Well, at least I had Axiom Verge on there.
You did.
I had one, you had two.
Axiom Verge 2 beat out Resident Evil Village and Metroid Dread, and there's a few reasons for that.
That's insane.
It is insane, absolutely. So, you played Axiom Verge 1. Axiom Verge 2 is a sequel, but it's a completely different game with a completely different character in a completely new location. And what's unique about that is because it changes everything, it makes you have to relearn and rethink everything, but it doesn't do it in a way where, like, a Metroid game does, like, oh, by the way, you just lost all your powers. Go find them again. This one, you're, with your new character, it's all melee combat. There are hints of it that kind of reminded me a little bit of Hollow Knight, but it still stands out on its own. And it, like you said, Axiom Verge, you said it's not a Metroid game, but it has, you know, you can see where its inspiration came from.
Mm-hmm.
This one doesn't feel like it's forcing itself to try to be different from the first game. There's enough to still make it feel like an Axiom Verge game, but there's so much in this world that you're not underground. You're on top of a planet. It's bright. You can explore, and then the maps are more detailed, and they're not just colors now for your map. When you fill it up, they actually show you landscape in the background. It's beautiful. And the soundtrack, he still does the music. Thomas Happ still does the music. But it's beautiful. It's haunting. There's a lot of Greek and Roman inspiration for a lot of the structures and statues in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And there are moments where you're like, okay, how does this tie in with the first one? Because it's starting to feel so alien and different. Not to spoil anything, because I know at some point you'll play it, but there's a hook in the game where you, all of a sudden everything starts to make sense. And you want it, you'll be glad you played the first game, and you're like, wait a minute. This connects to that. That connects. Holy shit, what just happened? And what's also interesting, too, is you don't have to fight all the bosses in the game, but you do want to do that for experience points, leveling up, and getting better weapons and stuff. So I like how it gives you the ability to freely explore where you want and choose how you want to engage things. And I couldn't put it down. Not once. I put, I think, over 11 hours into the game, and I played it every day until I beat it. And I didn't try to rush to beat it. I wanted to soak up every nook and cranny and corner in the game, and I did. And when I finally finished it, I was so blown away, I immediately started typing, Axiom Verge 3 win, to see if they would talk about it. And then you showed...
I don't think they have at this point.
No, they don't. But because Axiom Verge 1 was so successful, he has more help. He has his wife and other members of his family helping him with the game. He has a lot more support to develop the game. And he's in a position where he can continue making games, which is great. There's a great documentary that I saw on YouTube about his life and how he created Axiom Verge. And when you play 2, you realize that not only does the game get even better from the first game, it adds to the overall story, and you want there to be a 3.
Yeah, it's... I really hope he has the ability, considering the rest of his family probably doesn't need to work anymore with how much he made off of Axiom Verge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do highly recommend you watch the... I'll have to link it in our Discord, but it's a short documentary about how Axiom Verge got made, and it's actually very... It's a heartfelt story, and it was all about him trying to support his family, and it just worked out, but what it got to get there for it to work out was just, like, so touching. But as a game, I like how it took elements that you love from the Metroidvania series, but it still tried to expand it and become its own thing, and 2, just elevated it to a level that I was like, this is the most beautiful game I've ever seen, game I've ever played. It sounds amazing, it looks amazing, and it's the way it ends, you're like, what does this mean for the world that you just experienced and the people that were in it? But when that game was over, I was just so in awe. And I still am, just thinking about it. Like, I had a great experience with Resident Evil Village. It was all Resident Evil, and it was, yeah! And I had a great experience with Metroid Dread. It's like, Metroid's back, yeah! But Axiom Verge, it's... Ugh. Be still my beating heart. You touched my heart in so many ways I didn't even know I could feel this way about a game. And that is why it's my top number one.
Oh, this has been great.
Ah, so many games. So many games in 2021.
This has been great.
This has been great. You guys had great lists. Derp, I love what you put down. Everybody who participated in sharing us the games you enjoyed in 2021. Thank you again. That was a lot of fun. I'm very excited for the new year. I can't wait to play all the new games that will be coming out, and I've got plans for stuff I want to play for Twitch. I'll save those for a rainy day. I'm glad we revived the CODcast, by the way. I'm glad this is a thing again, and I look forward to more adventures in the new year.
I do too. This is going to be fun.
Absolutely.
And we got to do those duo streams. We still have to play a House of Ashes, motherfucker.
Yes, we do. So come 2022, we'll do that. Maybe that will be our first duo stream into the foray of 2022s, because we've been talking about that, and I did buy the game.
Yes.
Well, for everybody who's listening, this is Paradigm Gaming signing off from the year 2021. Thank you so much for listening. And
coming up in our 10 years,
we'll see you soon.
You know when you can catch us?
At the drop of a paradigm.
I half expect you to put that in at the end one of these times. Just
I'll give it a shot. Why not? We'll see. You never know what the future may hold.